Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. And Jason, thanks for your warm welcome. And as a lookout, Ruth Ann and I know some of you, and it's a pleasure to be with all of you here this morning. Now, let me speak an elephant into the room. Because as Pastor Jason has talked about, whenever we mention the person work of the Holy Spirit, it just seems to result in some pretty strong reactions. So let me speak into the room some of the things that you might be sensing this morning. So for example, imagine talking to some of your friends that are not Jesus followers. And mentioned this morning that at work or at your friends at school, you're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. And they're going to kind of look at you and wonder, what in the world is this all about? It seems kind of odd. And then even within the family of Christians, as is alluded to, we can have different types of reactions. And so perhaps some of us this morning, you have a reaction of bad experiences. In other words, you've known someone who was really into the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, bad experiences. Or perhaps there's the reaction of, during your journey, you've had some bad theology that says what the Holy Spirit can't do, or perhaps what the Holy Spirit always has to do, some bad theology. Maybe that's coming into your mind right now. Or maybe there's that reaction of fear, of wondering if I really open up myself to God, what's going to happen? What is He going to ask me to do? There might be some fear there. Or there might be a reaction of well, I'm just not sure about this. It's kind of like ignorance. I just have more questions than answers. I'm not sure what your reaction or how you might be sensing right now, but I'd like to invite you to do something. I'd like to invite you to gather those up and hold them up to God and then let them go. Listen to the words of Jesus this morning and the invitation that He has for each one of us. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus says this, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified." Here's the deal. Jesus was speaking before Pentecost. And friends, this morning, Jesus Christ has risen, and the Spirit of God has been sent. And so, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, Holy Spirit lives in you. And Holy Spirit, as those amazing lyrics of this song, brings the presence of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, like water, bubbles up in you the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And that's awesome. You know what? I think across Canada, God is beginning us to stir us again. And there's more and more, it's kind of like as Jesus follows, we don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to just do our nice Christian things. We don't want to just be nice people. We want to fully enter into what Jesus continues to do. And part of that, God is reminding us and stirring us to know that Holy Spirit indwells us and brings Jesus to us. And so, friends, this morning, I want us to look at God's Word and to have a clear awareness of who Holy Spirit is, and then that we might more fully experience Him. So once again, can you just gather up and let go and then move in to what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has for us this morning? So I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at three pictures of what Holy Spirit does in our lives right now and how we can lean into that. So you turn to the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books because it was written to a church like you guys. And Paul was so passionate. He was so desirous that as the people of God, that you would just see all of who God is and see all of the realities that because you are a son or daughter of God, of what that looks like for you. And that you would just live into that and lean into that and experience that more and more. And one of the themes in the book of Ephesians is the person and work of Holy Spirit. 15 different occasions. And I want us to just look at three pictures this morning. So the first picture is in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. It says this, "And you," talking about any Jesus follower, "also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Picture number one, Holy Spirit is present in you. And look at some of the layers in which what we see there. It says, talks of the promised Holy Spirit. And that's allusion to what Jesus was talking about in the book of John in the upper room discourse, what Pastor Jason was talking about last week. When Jesus said to his disciples when they realized he was going to go, they started to freak out. They didn't want to be left without him. He says, "Don't worry, I'm going to send to you another counselor, another comforter, and he's going to be in you. And he's going to bring me to you." And so, friends, what that means is we don't have to go to a place. We don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go to geography to be with Jesus, because Holy Spirit indwells us and brings Jesus to us. It also says there that we're marked with a seal, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. And so part of that picture is the fact that each one of you have been stamped with a special seal, and that is Holy Spirit. Now, the background of that, it would make total sense for the people of that day. It was a commercial term. And whenever a product was going to be sold from one person to another, there was a seal that was put on it. And that seal would say two things. First of all, it was a seal of quality, and secondly, it was a seal of ownership of that it was, who it belonged to. So today, sort of a picture of that might be a name brand, like we have an Apple computer or we have Microsoft property. Before it leaves, it's a stamp of a quality as well as ownership. It's saying something about that item. The whole fact that Holy Spirit is in you is an expression. God says to you, "Today you are my son. You are my daughter, and Holy Spirit lives in you." That's the stamp, that's the seal that I put upon you. You know, we go through life picking up stamps or seals that we put on ourselves, or sometimes other people put on us. Names like inadequate, or loser, or never gonna get anywhere. Or stamps like, "I'm going to be successful in my own strength." Holy Spirit whispers to us over and over again our true identity, that we are a son or daughter of God. That's what he's doing this morning. And it also says that he is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. That was another business term, and we get that. It's like if we want to buy something, we might put a down deposit down, so maybe 20%, and there's more to come. And the picture there is that Holy Spirit is now present in us. We have begun to experience some of the things that God has for us. But like a small percentage of the down deposit, God has more and more and more for you to experience. And so if your experience of God has been what might be somewhat boring, God has more and more and more for you. So putting this all together, Holy Spirit is resident in your life, whether you sense him or not. He's present in every follower of Jesus. And he brings to us Jesus. He brings to us our core identity. He's a stamp that we belong to God. So what's our response? If that's the invitation, what's the response? Well, part of our response is to acknowledge and welcome his presence. It's to grasp the fact that Holy Spirit of God actually indwells us. That when we get out of bed tomorrow morning, the Spirit who hovered over creation and formed the Rocky Mountains, Spirit of God who came upon Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit who's indwells us and present in us. I have a friend, Brian, and about a month ago, he's just talking about that this is a part of his relationship with God, is just really connecting with him. The Holy Spirit is present and to welcome his presence each day. And Brian works downtown in Calgary, and he was just talking about walking into the office and just the difference now of saying, Spirit of God, I realize that you are present in me. Oh, just help me today. Guide me in my interactions. Guide me in my presence. Because you are present. Picture number one, Holy Spirit is present. Welcome him. Picture number two, flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I think some verses that are really familiar with us in verse 17 and 18. The picture is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in chapter 1, Paul talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit is present. Now he talks about how present we are to the Holy Spirit who is present in our life, how available we are to him. And he uses an illustration. So in verse 17 says this, therefore do not be foolish. In chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in context, he's talking about experiencing this new life that Jesus has for us. And he's talking about living increasingly open to the presence of the Spirit in our life. And so it's important that we understand this analogy about not getting drunk with wine, but being filled by the Spirit. What it's not talking about is how much of the Holy Spirit we have. Like, in other words, like the Holy Spirit kind of pours in, and maybe today I have 71% of the Holy Spirit, and tomorrow I have 73%. No, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about how much we have of the Spirit, but rather how much the Spirit has of us. You see, the picture is this. If I sat down, and let's take something a little bit stronger than wine. If I sat down with shots of Jack Daniels, shots of whiskey, and I took one, and I decided to take another, and I decided to take another, by my actions, I am giving myself over to 40% alcohol. And so by opening up, making myself more available, that's flooding into all of my being. And that's the picture. Holy Spirit is present. He never rushes in. He never surpasses our willingness to allow him to take control and to guide us. So a couple stories that illustrate what that's like. In the first century BC, there was a Roman astronomer named Claudius Ptolemy. So any of you who are into astronomy might have heard of that name. And so he and others talked about the geocentric view of the universe. So the picture that the earth is the center of all things, and the planets and the sun rotate around the earth. Okay? Later, in the 1500s, Julius Copernicus said, no, that's not actually the way it is. It's not the earth that's in the center. It's actually the sun. And the planets and earth rotate around the sun. That's truth. That's the reality. Part of being filled with the Spirit is coming to that Copernican revolution. In other words, to realize that by birth, and by the culture and by those natural inclinations that each one of us, we think that we're sort of in this universe in which we are the center, that it's all about us, that we're the most important. And although we might not overtly say that, sometimes our actions show that. But God invites us to step out of that universe to the true universe in which He is the center of all things. He is actually the sun in the center of all things, and S-O-N. Today, the invitation to be filled with the Spirit is saying, Lord, I'm not the center of all things. I want you to be the center of all things. Another pitcher. Imagine a clear plastic pitcher or jug. Okay, a pitcher of water. Okay, so this is nice glass, crystal perhaps, and it's clear, there's water in it. And then I put some stones in. Okay, I put some stones in there. So imagine these stones are in a sense taking room, and the water doesn't have access to all parts of that. If I was to put my hand in and start pulling out these rocks, there would be more space available that the water would be moving into. So the point of that picture is this. In our life, if there are areas where we have never really given over control to Holy Spirit, to the triune God, if there's sin in our life that we have not acknowledged and confessed and repented of, that place is unavailable to the Holy Spirit to work. And so part of being filled with the Spirit is not only to put God in the center of all things, but to look at every area of our life and see if there's something that we need to make available to Him, any sin that we might need to confess, so that we might be more present and available to Him. Those who are filled with the Spirit die to needing to be in control. They surrender themselves to live radically dependent on and available to the Holy Spirit. And so here is the invitation and the response in that picture, to not be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. If in your journey with Jesus, you have never come to the point where you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of every area of your life and have never presented all of yourself to Him, friend, today is the day. It's the day of inviting Him into every part of your life, your relationships, your work, your school, your sexuality, to dedicate your body and your mind and your will and your emotions to Him, to make yourself completely available. It's a decisive commitment. Part of the response also might be for many of us who, yeah, at one point in our life have acknowledged Lord as center of all things. But it's a reminder that part of our daily rhythm is to every day ask that we might be filled with the Spirit, to make ourselves available to Him, to see if there's any area where we've taken over control or withheld from Him and say, Spirit of the living God, I give this to you. Please, I'm available to you. This morning, I believe that for many of us, Spirit of God will be nudging us about areas in which we need to confess and to give over to Him, and then to ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. So picture number one, Holy Spirit is present to us. Picture number two is how present are we to the Holy Spirit? In other words, how open, how available are we? and therefore the call to be filled. The last picture, it's in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It's an awesome prayer. It's one of my favorite prayers. Because Paul, talking to people he really loved, knew that the Spirit of God was present in them, knowing that they were on this journey of increasing, making themselves available, so to be filled with the Spirit, but recognizing, like all of us, that they also needed an empowering touch of the Holy Spirit upon their life. And so Ephesians chapter 3 is a picture of how we need Holy Spirit to empower us, and especially in these areas in which are talked about in this prayer. So follow along with me as I read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, starting at verse 16. This is awesome. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he might strengthen you with power through what? Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Oh, there's so many powerful things in there of what the Spirit, when we ask him, how he empowers us. Let me just quickly name them. The first one says that the Spirit might strengthen our inner being. There's this picture of the Spirit strengthening the walls of all parts of our life. You and I, when we're authentic and real, recognize we've got a lot of broken areas. We've got a lot of weak areas. And we begin to take seriously following Jesus. We recognize, Lord, I just recognize areas of brokenness in my mind, in my heart, in my soul. Thankfully, we don't have to do that alone. And this part of this prayer is that God might strengthen the walls of our soul, might shore up those cracks as we bring them to it. Say, God, I need your empowering touch upon this area of my life. Maybe that's your reality here this morning, to strengthen the walls of your soul. Second part of the prayer is in verse 17 there, talking about the presence of Jesus in our life, that Holy Spirit expands our capacity to live in the presence of Jesus. Holy Spirit expands our capacity to live in the presence of Jesus. It talks about that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, what it's not saying is that somehow, like, Jesus is not there and suddenly he is. No, it's talking more about from our perspective, that we are increasingly aware that Jesus Christ is with us. And the conversations that we step into and the situations that we're a part of, that Jesus is actually there. And Holy Spirit, part of his role, is always connected with Jesus, to make Jesus more present and our awareness of his presence more tangible in our life. Another guy I know, Kel, he's a medical researcher guy, and this is something that just really grabbed his heart, of the fact that Jesus actually is present with him in the lab. And he talks over and over again, I just want to ask Jesus really practical questions during the day about how to go about my work, how to enter into the conversations. And this enlivening to Jesus is just so much more part of his reality in recent days. The very last part of this talks of these beautiful thing about the love of God. And it says that we might know how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, might know it and might experience it. And so Holy Spirit deepens our experience of the love of God. I think many of us have blocks in terms of really receiving the love of God. Some of it is due to maybe our families of origin, relationship with our parents, and the capacity to sense and feel love. I think this morning that God wants to touch relationships and desires that you experience a fresh touch of the Father's love for you. You know, it's interesting that this part of this picture is something where we need the prayers of others. So Paul is praying for this church family that God would be doing this, that they would be strengthening them, might be expanding their capacity to be present to Jesus, might be deepening their experience of the love of the Father. That's where we need the prayers of other people. And so friends, this morning, these are the invitations of Holy Spirit who is present in you. And I don't know what specific applications that he has for you this morning. But I believe for each one that right now he's nudging. He's giving us invitations. And so we want to create a time in which we can respond to those invitations that are coming from the triune God. What might those invitations be? Well, invitation might be in that first picture of just welcoming and acknowledge the Holy Spirit does indwell us. And maybe you have been resistant, maybe you've been blocking that, maybe because of fear and bad theology or all those kind of reactions. Today's a day of saying, oh, I welcome you. Or it could be that whole filling of a decisive giving lordship over to God, or asking for a fresh filling of the Spirit. Or it could be aspects of that last prayer of strengthening parts of your being, of expanding your capacity, of deepening your love. It's so helpful to pray with someone about that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to transition. We're going to continue to be in the presence of God, to express through the words of these songs the expression of our heart. And we want to create opportunities for you to pray and to be prayed for. So what's going to happen? There's going to be some people at the back, and there's going to be some people at the front. And as you consider and ask God, what is my response this morning? I'd like to welcome you just to go up and first of all to express to God what you are asking, how he's prompting you to respond this morning, and then to allow that person to pray for you. And so the worship team is going to come up now. They're going to lead us in those responses. And I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask that each one of us will know what that looks like. Sometimes it's really important that we move and go and ask for prayer. That's part of stepping into the invitation that God has for us. And like Jason says, no one's going to make a person do that. But that might be part of your journey this morning. That might be part of responding. For others, it might be to quietly enter into these lyrics and to respond to the invitations of the Spirit of God this morning. So let me pray for us as we walk into the Spirit of God who indwell us, who bring Jesus to us. I pray this morning that for each one of us, that you would give to us a sense of how to respond. Deliver us from just doing something because we think we should, or what others might be thinking. Oh, Spirit of God, press upon us, nudge us, and may the words of these songs be our expression to you and our invitation to your deep work in our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.